Right, former finance minister Ken Oforiatta lock horns with Office of the Special Prosecutor before Interpol as both sides exchange strong argument over damaging red notice that made the former finance minister Ghana's most wanted. We'll tell you why Interpol may have decided to remove the red notice from its website for now. Top story, as always, is brought to you by Telecel Connecting Energies, Holy Insecticide Spray and Coil. Enjoy a holy sleep, and also by Short Pension Trust into the future with you. Tonight, former Finance Minister Ken Oforiatta is locking horns with the Office of the Special Prosecutor before Interpol as both sides exchange strong argument over damaging red notice that made the former Finance Minister Ghana's most wanted. Today, Office of the Special Prosecutor fought back claims the former Finance Minister Ken Oforiatta has been removed from the Interpol red list. Ken Oforiatta was placed on the International Criminal Police Organization's red list in June this year upon request from the OSP for using public office for profit. He has since been on the red list for the last 5 months until report emerged today that he has since been taken off. Indeed, his notice is no longer on the Interpol page. We have been doing our own independent verification on this, and we'll tell you what we find shortly. But first, James Savage joins me with details of the OSP statement in relation to this particular matter. James, what does it say?
Well, Brace, the OSP statement released this morning starts by indicating that in October 2025, the Commission for the Control of Interpol's Files notified Ghanaian authorities that accused Kenneth Nanaya Oforiatta had applied for the removal of his name from Interpol's red notice. The commission requested Ghana's response to Mr. Ken Oforiatta's application. Ghana's response was duly submitted on 22nd October 2025. It goes on to say that by communication dated 7th November 2025, the Commission for the Control of Interpol's File notified Ghanaian authorities again that accused Ken Nanaya Oforiatta had filed additional argument in an addendum, and the Commission requested Ghanaian authorities to file their response to Ken Oforiatta's additional argument by 21st November 2025. Then he says that the proceedings are still pending at the Commission for the Control of Interpol's Files. Still studying the case that is appearing before them through that second additional argument that was filed. Now, during the pendency of the proceedings, the applicant's name, which is that of the former finance minister, image and details are often redacted from public view until a final determination is made in the matter. Now, the public, this is the conclusion, Brace, the public is urged to disregard all publications to the contrary as born of mischief and misinformation. So essentially, that's what the OSP has been saying.
But we have been doing our own independent checks on this particular matter by digging on the Interpol website to understand what really is happening. Caleb Ziblima of our research desk joins me in studio with some more details. Caleb, what do we know now? In terms of what we've been checking, what exactly have we gathered from doing some checks on the red notice? How is a red notice removed from the word go?
Yes, Brice. So a red notice may be challenged directly to the Commission for the Control of Interpol's Files, also known as the CCF. So this is a commission, an independent commission under Interpol. And the CCF is responsible for ensuring that the processing of personal data complies with Interpol's rules. So if you have an issue, you go to the CCF and they resolve it for you. So once you want to remove your name or some data from Interpol's red notice, you make a request to the CCF or the commission. Then the commission first decides whether the request is admissible. After that, a decision will be made within 9 months whether to grant the removal or not. Okay. So this decision can take up to 9 months. Mm. Now, however, the person making the request for removal can also ask the commission to implement provisional measures. So the commission may block or freeze the Interpol notice pending further study of the request for deletion of data. So after you make a request to the commission for them to remove your name from the list, you can also ask the commission for them to block your name from the Interpol Red Notice website. And this is what has been done.
Okay.
So, but the website...
It's not been deleted, but it's been blocked.
It's been blocked. Okay. And the website says it is not guaranteed that the request for the provisional measures, that's to block your name from the list, will be granted. So this is at the discretion of the commission. Mm. So since the request has been granted now, and as we speak, if you check Interpol's website, Ofriate's profile is no longer on the Interpol's red notice list. So it is possible to assume that the commission found merit in Ofriate's request for deletion. Because once you apply, it's at the commission's discretion to either block your name pending the outcome of the request for deletion or removal from the red notice list. Mm. But then again, it's at the discretion of the commission to either keep your name on the list during the 9 months it will take for them to go through the process, mm, or leave your name on the list.
Okay. So, based on whether they are satisfied or not, will inform the decision that they take. Now that we have the full charge sheet, what are some of the categories under which a red notice will not be published, and does this apply here?
Okay, so there are three broad categories under which a red notice will not be issued. The first one is offenses of behavioral or customs. So if it's something cultural in your country, they will not issue a red notice for you. Two, offenses of private matters. They will not issue a red notice. And three, offenses of administrative nature. And this is the interesting category because on the Interpol website, it lists the following example under offenses of administrative nature, and I quote, offenses related to causing damage to public funds, for example, contracts concluded in violations of internal procedures or negligence in the performance of duties, where there is no personal gain, whether direct or indirect, and no fiscal harm to individuals, and there is no negligence or evidence of corruption or fraud.
It won't let them publish a red notice on you.
It won't issue a red notice, okay, if you fall under this category. So now that we have the full charge sheet and we see it's mostly related to corruption-related offenses with the SML contracts, we can assume that the lawyers for Ken Ofriate filed their appeal under this provision in the Interpol's red notice.
Oh, interesting. Thank you very much, Caleb Zublin, there with some details of what we've been finding from Interpol's website. This is Stop Sorry, brought to you always by Telecel Connecting Energies and also by Holy Insecticide Spray and Coil Enjoy, Holy Sleep and Sure Pension, Trust into the Future with you. We've been joined by Professor Kwadjo Apiejetia. He's a professor of international law at the University of Ghana. Prof, I'm grateful to you for joining us here. Now, if you listen to what my research team has done on the Interpol's website, it tells you that the argument of Kenneth Rata's lawyers may have had some merit in the favor of, with regards to the commission that looked into it. If that is the case, then can we really, what do we need to expect once the commission says, well, we found some merit in the argument that they put forward?
Also, there is some case that may sort of go in favor of kind of Ofriate here, but it doesn't conclude, it doesn't come to a conclusion that we can firmly say that it's a case for kind of Ofriate in this regard. It's like applying for an injunction, so okay, it can go either way, and even if it so happens, the substantive case may still have to be looked at. So as it stands, when we make that application for review of the notice for red alert, that can be the one the commission is investigating, that it can do the blockage. And so that is what I think has happened now. Mm. And so we need to wait and see what will be the next step or what will happen next.
Mm. But if you hear one of the categories that the red notice will be issued or will not be issued, and it has to do with the fact that, you know, if the person is accused of abusing public funds, but it is not for the person's own interest or no harm was caused to anybody, I mean, can we expect that based on that, Ken Ofori-Atta's name may come back again or not? Because if it is that, well, he didn't gain any personal, attain any personal gains and didn't cause any injury to anybody, then of course his name can't appear again. Not so.
Yeah, but we need to look at the case very carefully, because we cannot at this stage, it's too early to establish that he didn't have any personal gain or anything that mean would be grounds for making a decision in his favor. So it's early days yet, and okay. I think we need to be slow in coming to some conclusion. There's a need to have a little more facts, a little more time to see how the commission will, as the case unfolds and as it tries to examine the application, before we can come to some conclusion. But there seems to be a glimmer of hope, if you like, for Ken Ofori-Atta, looking at the way the matter is proceeding.
Oh, there seems to be a glimmer of hope for him?
Yes.
Okay. Why that?
Well, I mean, as you yourself referred to some of the issues that they would investigate, the question is whether, if you look at the SML case, he has personal interest or he's going to have some personal gain out of that. I think that's from the view of the OSP, there may be such a connection or that possibility is there, but on the face of it, it may not. So that, in that sense, may indicate some kind of shifting of the matter to his side and in his favor. Yeah, that's why I'm making that point. But like I said, we cannot come to that conclusion yet.
Okay. But based on the responses that the OSP will file, there's a possibility that the name will come back on the red notice, right?
Exactly. That's why I'm saying that, again, it's too early days yet to determine how the matter will go, which direction it will go.
But what impact does this have on the main case that only yesterday we got to know that the OSP has filed some 78 charges against him and seven others?
Well, probably the OSP is playing its cards well. You know, there are two ways of dealing with this matter, and some have suggested that instead of trying to extradite him to Ghana, the other way to go is by way of trying him in absentia. And so probably the OSP is looking at a plan B. I don't know them, I can't read his mind, but probably that is the strategy that the OSP is adopting here, so that in case there is any favorable response on the side of Ken Ofori-Atta with regard to the application is made to the commission, then OSP will fall on the trial in absentia to deal with the matter.
But when you read the statement by the OSP, that sought to say that the public should disregard impression that may be created that the name has been rewound to court verbatim, it says the proceedings are still pending and the Commission for the Control of Interpol's Files is still studying the case. During the pendency of the proceedings, the applicant's name, image and details are often redacted from public view until a final determination is made. The public is urged to disregard all publication to the contrary as born of mischief and misinformation. But from what we've also, gotten from their website, it means that the counsel for Kenneth Ferrata filed an argument and the commission has probably found some merit in that argument. So if you combine the two, who's misleading who?
It's difficult.
Prof, do I have you? Hello, Prof.
Come to...
Prof, the line tripped away.
Can you hear me?
I cannot hear you.
Can you hear me?
I cannot hear you, sir.
Okay. So I'm saying that I think I will side with the position and the decision taken by the OSP.
Okay.
That the matter has not been finalized. The decision of the Interpol Commission has not been concluded. So it is too early for speculation and conclusion that Ofurata has won the petition that was sent to the commission. And so in that respect, I think that we should take the position taken by the OSP that the matter hasn't concluded yet. So we don't know whether truly it has gone this way or that way.
But is it really mischief when you go to the website today, you won't find Kenneth Ferrata there? And that's what the report was, that his details.
I think maybe mischief is too strong a word, but it may be born out of ignorance by the media house that carried that story. It could also...
Prof, the line has
to be a strategy by undermine the work of the OSP. Anything happens, but probably it's... Hello?
I can hear you, sir. Hello? I can hear you. I'm with you.
Yeah. So my point is that it's probably out of result of misunderstanding of how the Interpol process works. That's why people not seeing the name there can come to that conclusion. But it's not conclusive that the name has been expunged and it may never come back. It could come back.
Well, we'll advise the OSP to probably take the line of prosecuting him in absentia, looking at the antics that the team is putting up by writing to OSP, for example, putting up an argument that dropped the name and all of that. Should the OSP focus on prosecuting the case in absentia, or should he still focus on bringing him back to the jurisdiction?
Well, I think that the number one strategy is to bring him back to the jurisdiction, and that has not collapsed yet. So I don't think the OSP will abandon that approach. So, but as I said, it still wants to look at a plan B. So if one should fail, the first approach should fail, then they can then call on plan B. So I'm sure they're going to stick to that original decision to see to the extradition of Ofurata to Ghana.
But if that's going to drag the case, must he still focus on trying all he can to bring him?
Well, that is where you may want to look at probably what is the motive for wanting to bring him here, if maybe that is more likely to result in a decision that will be firmly established that he committed these wrongs. Because child in absentia has its own weaknesses. There are even human rights issues with regard to that, because everybody is entitled to a fair trial. Trial in absentia does not in some ways allow for fair trial. And so in some cases, in some countries, they will say that even if we go by trial in absentia, there is the opportunity for retrial in case the person is brought into the country. So I think probably that is the reason the OSP may want to extradite him here, so that if that he's tried in person, that may help to bring finality to the decision that the court may give.
But everybody knows that he's tried to extradite him to that jurisdiction, which has faced some blocks or blockades. So, I mean, till when should he try? If he tries in absentia, who will, toe the argument human rights? Hmm? Hello, Prof. I'm not really sure if.
Mm-hmm. Hello.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, so I'm saying that I'm not really sure that the first approach of a challenge.
Hello, Prof. Do I have you?
Team hiccups. Well, as a result of lack of communication or lack of cooperation. Office. But as what I see as a major hiccup here is the decision by Confederated Council to go before the Interpol Commission. But the matter has not been resolved. They have a time frame, probably 6 months to 9 months or something, to make a ruling. And so I think probably they're looking at the two, the OSP might want to buy time and see if that decision will work better so that the person can be brought.
But Prof, isn't it interesting that the person who's been put on this Interpol list since June is residing in the United States and they've still not been able to get him to Ghana? I mean, what could be the challenge of Interpol in getting the man extradited to Ghana to help in the process that is underway?
I'm not too sure it's a challenge with Interpol. I think it's more of how the OSP's office and the AG's office have been coordinating to bring the matter fully before the OSP and then for the extradition process to proceed where a court in the US can come in to make that final determination. So I think probably if those internal issues are resolved, it will help push the case forward.
Mm. Okay, so our hope lies in that the OSP and the AG solving their own internal issue. That I believe has been solved.
At this stage, it seems so.
Yes. Just stay with me. Let me bring in Bafwe Wahu, who speaks for who's a lawyer and a member of the minority in parliament. Grateful to you, sir, for joining us here. Now, what do you make of what is happening currently? We understand that Kenneth Rata's name has been redacted from Interpol's website because of probably they seen merit in the argument that his lawyers had put forth.
Thank you very much for having me. Raises very serious questions. You know, I have always maintained that not just the OSP, there's also an issue as to the manner in which our courts grant arrest warrants. Vision for the I've reasons to believe, or I've been informed that upon application to the Interpol, it became clear that there was no justification for Kenneth Rata's name to be put there. I can understand it because it looks like, or reasonably, anybody who would be interrogating the propriety or otherwise of the Interpol notice being registered on the Interpol's records will be firstly asking himself or herself the question as to whether or not Kenneth Rata had been charged. Obviously, he hasn't been charged. He wasn't charged. And you can understand why the OSP quickly redacted, OSP quickly filed the charges against Kenneth Rata. It was clearly after he got to know that the Interpol has withdrawn Kenneth Rata's name on this international notice list. So I'm not surprised. It confirms all that we have been saying about the operations of the OSP, and particularly also our courts. You know, when
So on that score, now that the charges have been filed, does it change anything with regards to him being listed on Interpol's website?
Well, I suspect the listing on the Interpol's website is a power which will be exercised in view of certain circumstances. A charge may be one of them, but they will take into account other things. And when it gets there, they will make that decision. But as it is now, there's one thing and one thing alone which has been confirmed, that the OSP didn't act diligently. And our courts have also failed to protect the fundamental human rights of the people. We need to emphasize that our courts stand between the citizens and the executive, particularly those who wield the power of arrest, the power to investigate, and the power to also prosecute. And therefore, they have to make sure that in issuing such notices, they are very, very careful. It appears that there was some failure somewhere along the value chain, and that is what has been exposed, right, with respect to the Interpol's operations or activities.
Failure on the part of who?
Pardon?
On the part of who? You say there has been some failure. Failure on the part of
the OSP.
Okay.
Those on our courts, the two, because clearly the Interpol notice was on the back of the notice of the arrest warrant by our courts.
So you don't expect Ken Ofori's name to resurface on Interpol's website?
No, I don't expect for Ken Ofori to resurface on Interpol's website. That would be speculative. We are speaking of things that have happened now. Things that have happened now being the Office of the Special Prosecutor procuring an arrest warrant based on which it obtained an Interpol notice. And a court in the United States of America has stated that that is not sufficient for Ken Ofori to be on the Interpol notice. The fundamental question should be an interrogation of the work of the OSP. The fundamental question should be an interrogation of the basis upon which the court issued the arrest warrant. We need to interrogate that. That should concern us more than the prospective, which for me is speculative.
You mentioned that a court has ruled in the U.S. of A. Which court is that? When did they rule?
I never said the court has ruled in the USA. I said that Ken Ofori applied for his name to be taken from the list. Clearly, in interrogating whether or not he should be on the list, they have their own considering.
Okay.
Maybe
it was a slip, but I had
a
clarification. I said maybe it was a slip. I had a court, so I wanted clarification. Once you say it's a court, then that's fine.
So they've interrogated it, they've re-evaluated it, and come to the conclusion that there's no justification for him to be there, right? Now, what was the basis on which the application for him to be there was made? We need to interrogate it. The OSP, how did he arrive at the conclusion that Ken Ofori has to be there? You know, there are conditions that has to be satisfied. Did he satisfy those conditions, right? Our court, how did they arrive at the decision that an arrest warrant should be issued in the circumstances of this matter? We need to interrogate the failings of state institutions rather than be concerned so much about the future, whether or not Ken Ofori is going to be there. The reason is simple. The reason is that we need to make sure that our state institutions are working and performing according to law and international standards. And so if the OSP has done something which is contrary to international standards, we need to interrogate it. If our court also issued a warrant based on which the OSP acted, we need to interrogate the materials before the court and let the court into acting or making the order it made.
I'm grateful to you. Nana Eje Bafo Ewa is MP for Menchia South. This has been Top Story, brought to you by Telecel, Holy Insecticide Spray and Coil, and Shield Pension Trust. My name is Samuel Breeze. Up next is Newsnight.